So welcome to the Emmanuel Network podcast. My name is Johnny Atkinson, and today I am joined by Jonathan Carswell. He's the founder and CEO of 10 of Those. So welcome, Jonathan.
Thanks very much. Great to be with you.
The Emmanuel Network, we're a network of like-minded individuals who are laboring to plant and revitalize healthy churches really around the globe. And Jonathan, I'm sure that many of our partners have actually been served by 10 of Those, whether they know it or not. And so why don't you tell us a little bit just about your own background and then also how that led to you starting 10 of Those.
Sure. Well, I was a youth pastor in Northern Ireland, as it happens, and as a hobby began selling Christian books, because there are so many Christian books out there, but how do you know which ones are good? How do you know which ones aren't so good, or worse, are going to do harm? And so I wanted a place where I could sell books that I knew were good, and I bought them in bulk at low cost and then sold them in tens, hence the name 10 of Those. And God multiplied the work, and it's grown. We've been in the UK for the last 13 years, and we launched in the US last year. Our passion is to get good books that hold to the Bible, read by as many people as possible, because we believe that books that point to Jesus change lives. That's what we're all about. And so what we're trying to do is help as many people read things that will point them to Jesus. And our particular passion is we'll serve anybody, but we want to serve particularly those who wouldn't naturally read without a bit of encouragement, whether that's just through an awareness of kind of a lack of awareness of what's available, maybe because they're not Christians, or if they are Christians, that isn't a part of their discipleship. We will obviously sell books to pastors and bibliophiles, but our real concern is that everybody in the church is reading good stuff that points them to Jesus. We do it as cheaply as possible, so everything is discounted. The more you buy, the cheaper it gets. And then we seek to use our profits to support missions around the world to places that otherwise wouldn't have resources. So that's what we're trying to do.
So just as a little plug, you know, as I've looked around your website, I've almost found that, you know, most prices I look at are cheaper than Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Amazon, you might have to do a whole other podcast about this, but Amazon do not help Christian publishing or Christians in a number of ways. Price you mentioned there, they're often not very, very cheap. They are convenient, I give them that, but you are always one click away from something that's going to do you harm. And so we want to give churches, congregations, networks a place where they can say, shop here with confidence, knowing it is always going to point you to Jesus. Amazon have no concern about your spiritual health whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people wherever possible, don't buy there, and don't encourage others to buy there, because they're one click away from harming themselves spiritually.
So I'd love to hear you just talk about it, because I've heard you talk about it in the past. Why is reading so important to the Christian life?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. You know, the guy who wrote a big chunk of the Bible, who had great religious education, was well-scholared, was in prison alone. And what does he ask for? Bring me my books. Books play just such a crucial part in transforming our minds, renewing our minds. And what does the scripture say about that? Well, that is how our lives are transformed. So what goes in will come out. And so we want to be putting into our minds, into our hearts, good gospel resources, books that will be holding to the truth of the Bible and then help us live that out. People often say, oh, you know, I'm just not a reader, or it takes too long, too busy, those sorts of things. I get that. I'm dyslexic. I find reading hard work. I'm busy. I'd rather watch a TV show than read. But if we read for 15 minutes a day, on average, we'll read 20 books a year. That's 1,000 books in a lifetime. Well, that is a lot of renewing of mind. That is a lot of transforming of living. But I also think books play a crucial role in our evangelism. because books can often say things we can't, because, you know, we're sensitive to our relationship. Perhaps we can't be as blunt as we might like to. Books can also say it at a time when we can't. So we can't go back into their home, perhaps in an evening when they're shutting down for the day and they can read. So it says things we can't, in places we can't, and often at times we can't. You can't go on vacation with them and sit on the beach. So getting evangelistic resources into the hands of non-Christians through books is a crucial, crucial thing. And I think, you know, people can look back on their life at times where either they've read a book or they've been given a book or even a quote from a paragraph of a book and say, actually, that really spoke to me, that impacted my life. And books can do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as Christians work together to advance the Lord's kingdom, we often draw lines of partnership in different ways. And so T4G is a good example of that. You know, they have Presbyterians and Baptists working side by side. Here at the Emmanuel Network, we are Baptistic and Reformed. It would be good for you just to speak to your own selection process of how you bring in books and what particular books you're stocking. And you've already mentioned, you know, the harmful ones. So what are you not stocking? Where are you drawing those lines?
So we pick what we stock and what we promote based on three things. And if I may, kind of maybe this might poke a bear with some listeners a bit, but I'm not looking to be a system Christian. I want to be a Bible Christian. I think that's a quote from a dead guy from long ago. So does the book hold to the Bible? By that, I don't mean, is it pushing a system or whatever, but does it hold to the Bible? Its content is the first thing that we pick a book on. Then we say, well, is it accessible? And that can mean anything from, is it well written? Is it too long? Or is it in old English? Or does it just have a dreadful cover? Or even, is it self-published? And so it's just hard to get hold of it because it's not through a normal channel. And then the third thing is on price. If we have two books that are identical in sort of theological robustness, they're both well written, accessible, and one is $20 and one is $10. Our method is we'll go for the one that's $10 because we want more copies to go out. That doesn't mean we don't sell books that are expensive, or if there isn't another option, you know, that we wouldn't go for it. But we're all about how do we sow seed on mass. And so if I can sell two copies for the same price, I can sell one copy, I'll sell two copies. Now, if I was selling Hershey's chocolate, whatever, I would be trying to sell as few as possible for as much money as possible. But because we believe the product does good, we want to sell as many as possible, even if that gives me sleepless nights of the finances. But in terms of, like, I personally would have a Baptistic view, but we sell Presbyterian stuff. We wouldn't really be selling stuff that is pushing a sort of Presbyterian ecclesiology as a kind of framework, but we sell Presbyterian authors who would perhaps have a Presbyterian, if I can put it this way, Presbyterian worldview. But I'm not trying to push a system or a particular kind of denomination. There are a few lines that we would draw with that as well. So I would sell, we'd sell stuff that is very much believers' baptism and promoting and pushing that. We wouldn't sell things on infant baptism, but we sell authors that fully believe in that. And you know, there's difficulties there. There are sometimes things that maybe we could sell and should sell, but don't. But I'd rather be more cautious that way than selling stuff that probably we shouldn't do. And so that's where we draw the lines. We don't always get it right. I am infallible, like every single one of our authors, bar one. And we need to remember that in our reading of books as well. Mm-hmm. If I may, on one point there, I would encourage mature Christians to read it outside of their network and outside of their kind of framework. I was talking with a friend the other day and he said, I can't remember whether it's either once a month or for every two books he reads with somebody he agrees with, he tries to pick something that he doesn't agree with. Now, we've got to be careful there. We've got to be mature. But that is a wise thing to do as well, even just to engage with, well, they're wrong there. But watch what is going into our mind, but it is a healthy balance to read with guys that we may not necessarily agree with.
I would strongly agree with that point. Some of the most shaping books I've read are those I disagree with, because they press you to make your argument more sharper. If you don't agree with what you're reading, well, why do you disagree? And as you're getting presented with an alternative view, your response has to be sharper, rather than reading something you agree with that you're kind of just amening, you know, the whole way through. So
you said it a lot better than I did. Yeah, I exactly for that reason. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I love about 10 of those is your heart for the church. And so maybe speak a little bit about that, and then just some of the ways that you do come alongside and help churches.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, I mean, we want every member to be reading, and we want non-members to be reading, in that we're passionate about reaching the lost with resources. So think about that. But then we think about, well, how do we get every member reading good stuff? I think it's important for ministers to remember that not everybody is going to be at their reading level. And so let's take an example. I don't know, say you're doing a series on prayer. Well, you may want everyone to read D.A. Carson's Praying with Paul, or it's called in the UK, A Call to Spiritual Reformation. That would be a great book for lots of people to read, but 90% of the congregation are not going to be at that level. So let's get them something good to help build on the level that they could be reading. So Michael Reeves' Enjoy Your Prayer Life would be a great start. It's 48 pages. It's $2 or $3, a pound or so in the UK. And, I mean, great starting point, but we want everyone to be reading. One of the ways that we serve the church or seek to have everyone reading is by doing online bookstores that are customized to your church. And when it's not during lockdown, we do pop-up bookstores for churches and conferences. So say you've got a church of 200-300. Well, we'll come to your church. We'd set up 10-15 tables on and have a book Sunday. We'd recommend some books as part of the service, and then there'd be a store available for that day or during that conference. Now, that's something we do, but week by week, ministers can be doing that sort of thing by saying, okay, well, let's take the example of prayer. Well, quote authors, quote from books that are good on prayer, and then highlight a book. And so maybe you go for Enjoy Your Prayer Life by Michael Reeves. It's $2-$3. We've got 30 copies at the back. First come, first served. You can have it for $3, say. Okay, you sell out, great. Well, we can send you some more, sale or return, these sorts of things. We're always looking to find ways to serve churches in getting out resources week by week. One of the key ways to make that happen is by your leaders or people within your church recommending books, enthusing about them, being passionate about them, and also giving ideas of how they might be used. So let's take evangelistically. Well, how do you share the gospel during lockdown? Well, could you write to 5 friends or neighbors or colleagues and say, hey, look, been thinking about you at this point and miss being in touch. Just thought I'd enclose this little book that looks at the question of where is God in a messed up world? And we sell those for really low cost and can do it without breaking the bank. But giving the church those sorts of ideas helps enthuse them to be reading good stuff.
So we, the Emmanuel Network website, if you have a look on there, we have partnered with 10 of those and have a bookstore on our website that they're running for us. And so you can have a look at that and see how your own church could do that themselves. It was very easy to set up. Jonathan, you've already mentioned evangelistic literature. What are some of the other kind of major categories that, again, a church may want to have literature lying around to hand people? And does 10 of those have those?
Yeah, well, God's word. I think I actually think for in America, compared to where I'm from in the UK, you're much better at giving out Bibles. But have Bibles ready in a way that in a translation that people who aren't used to the Bible could understand. And I'd say linked with that, have Bible reading notes that are ready. Especially for non-Christians, but also for Christians. For non-Christians, I'd recommend a book called Newness of Life, which has 30 undated readings for somebody who's never read the Bible for themselves to begin. And it actually has the Bible passage in it as well. So it's very accessible. Bible reading notes, Bibles, things for children. How are you going to introduce children to God's word, whether they're from a Christian family or not? I would also say biography is a crucial way to introduce doctrine to the average church member. Now, the danger of saying average church member is you kind of, or do you move on from biography? Everybody and anybody should be reading biography. It shows what God can do with a life that's dedicated to him. And it also shows what it is to live out the principles of Christian living, to live out doctrine. So I'll give you an example. I mean, Jim Elliot is a great one, Through Gates of Splendor. Well, what a great example of commitment to the cause, to evangelism, to trusting God's sovereignty, all those sorts of things. Helen Roosevelt, another great one, you know, and it's teaching those principles. So I would be saying, if you're going to recommend one book a month for a year, okay, you've got an opportunity to recommend 12 different authors. And I would say make two or three of those biography, make two or three of those fairly short, do something on Bible reading and do something on prayer. That will probably cover your 12 months. And at two seasonal times, Easter and Christmas, make them evangelistic. That gives your congregation a really good framework of what should I be reading? Which authors should I be reading? And how should I be using books evangelistically? You do that over a year, they might not make too much of notice of what you're doing. You do that over a 20-year period of ministry, your congregation will be hungry for books. They'll know which authors, which publishers, and they'll be excited about reaching their neighbors through evangelistic literature.
You've obviously given a lot of thought to this. This is excellent. Jonathan, if one of our network partners wanted to have a bookstore set up on their website or contact you for having one of the pop-up bookstores, how would they go about that? And then specifically with the pop-up one, are you limited geographically presently? Or we have a network partner in Utah. We even have one in Hawaii. And so, yeah, what are some of the limitations on those?
In terms of getting in touch, the easiest way is to email. And the email is popup@tenofthose.com. So popup@tenofthose.com. Or if you forget that, just email me, jonathan@tenofthose.com. In terms of restrictions, I mean, we have to use our time wisely. And so if your church is a smaller church, we normally have to be kind of 300-400 to make it work. But there's easy ways to do that. You see, maybe you've got a weekend away or a retreat, or you can partner with another church to do a Saturday, Sunday, and do Saturday for the local area, invite all the other churches to use your sort of pop-up Saturday, and then we can stay for the Sunday, those sorts of things. In terms of areas like Hawaii, if we can take get on with a vacation for me, I'm sure we can find a way. There are certain areas that are going to be harder and times of the year where we're already fully booked, etc. But and also during lockdown it is harder, but there are different ways. So for example, okay, you're not meeting together. Well, Enjoy Your Prayer Life comes as an ebook. We sell the ebook for 99 cents. So why not have your whole church reading the ebook or the PDF or whatever for a dollar a go? And we don't even have to bring the books to you. There are ways, and we will always try and answer yes and then find a way. So we want to serve each individual area and circumstance that in the best way for them in that area and circumstance. We try not to have a one size fits all, but we have to, you know, be shrewd with our resources.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. I hope this has been helpful. It's been helpful for me just to be reminded again of 10 of those in their ministry. And I hope our network partners will avail themselves of the resources that you have. So thank you.
We're here to help if we can. Thank you.